Here. Commissioner Rodman?
Here.
Commissioner Christensen?
Here.
Commissioner Stanger?
Here.
Commissioner Sherwood?
Here.
And Commissioner Dirksen?
Here.
Thank you, Tammy. Okay, this is a time we set aside for comments from citizens. If there's anybody here that would like to come up and make a comment, we would ask that you keep your comments down to 5 minutes or less. Those are comments on any subject that are not on tonight's agenda. So if there's anybody in the audience that would like to make a comment, please let me know by raising your hand. Okay? We're going to approve the minutes for October 13, 2014. They were online. Minutes were in the packet. I have a motion.
I move the October 13 minutes be accepted.
Motion made by Commissioner Rodman to accept the October 13 minutes, seconded by Commissioner Stanger. Any discussion?
Is that the department that you've not actually seen?
Well, they were in the packet online.
Oh, online, I didn't look online. I got a physical packet, they were not there. So I didn't know where.
Do you want to look at them real quick?
I'll wait till you take a look.
I think it was the fastest meeting we ever had.
Or one of them. It's because Paul was.
Yeah, I don't want to say that. Chicago was my granddaughter's birthday.
Shame on you.
Any comments? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, approval minutes for October 27th, 2014. Commissioners?
This is a meeting I didn't know was happening.
Commissioners, a motion, please.
I move that we approve the October 27, 2014 minutes as written.
Motion made by Commissioner Sherwood to approve minutes for October 27, 2014. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second by Commissioner Rodman. Any discussion?
I will be abstaining since I was not here.
Okay. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We move on to our public hearing. The first one is public hearing for Holderman Rezone. This is a quasi-judicial action. This applicant proposes to rezone approximately 32 acres located adjacent to Woodrow from the urban residential room 600. UR 600 to urban residential 6000, which is UR 6000. The options for this public hearing is to continue the hearing to the next meeting. We can close the hearing and defer action to the next meeting. We can close the hearing and forward the city council. The recommendation would be to move forward and approve it, or to, that is the recommended motion, or we can forward a recommendation to city council to not recommend approval. So those are our options tonight. As a quasi-judicial action, we will address parents' fairness issue. And I don't know, do we need to, no, we don't open public hearings for that yet, right, Paul?
No.
Okay. Paul, I would like you to take this part and ask us the questions that you need to.
Okay. I have several questions to adhere to the appearance of fairness process, since this is a quasi-judicial public hearing. I have five questions. Four. First one is, commissioners, do you have any interest in the property or the application, or do you live within 500 feet of the property subject to the application?
I live in the foothills. I don't know how many feet away that is. Down at the very end of Boulder Ridge.
You should, well, I think you're far enough east.
But I'm not a homeowner there. I don't own a home there, though. I'm a renter, so I don't know if that matters.
I think you should.
The question was, you live there, right?
Hmm?
The question was, you live?
Yeah, but there's also the reason behind the question.
What have we determined with Commissioner Tuttle?
I think distance-wise, she is okay.
Okay. All right. Should we just go down the line and answer the question?
But if anyone has any interest, or if they live within 500 feet, I just need to
know.
Okay.
Otherwise,
the answer is no.
Okay. Sounds like there's nobody that needs.
Commissioners, do you stand to gain or lose any financial benefits as a result of the outcome of the hearing? Anyone?
No.
Commissioners, can you hear and consider this application in a fair and objective manner? Everyone?
Yes.
Yes. Last question is, commissioners, have you engaged in ex parte communications with either the proponents or opponents of the application? And if so, please state for the record the substance of the communications, any conversations with anyone outside of the commission or staff?
No.
And audience, does anyone wish to challenge the participation of any member of the Planning Commission on the basis of appearance of fairness? And we should note for the record that Commissioner Sherwood has recused himself and left the meeting since he has a conflict of interest.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
At this time, then, we can open the public hearing. The order of speaking will be staff. Staff will do a presentation. Then we can have comments from the applicant, comments from the opponents, comments from any others wishing to speak. Any comment from the applicant in response, and any response from staff. Anybody wishing to speak tonight out there, I do ask you to stand, and I will ask a affirmation of truth from you, and I'll just take everybody over so we don't have to do it one at a time as you come up and speak. Anybody want to stand, please? The question is, do you promise that the testimony that you are about to give in this proceeding will be the truth? If so, respond, I do.
I do.
Thank you. Thank you, may sit.
I don't like that yet.
We can put the lights on, Brad, I think it's okay.
Okay, so good evening, planning commissioners. Melissa Place, senior planner with the city. And I'd like to point out, this evening we have in the audience Mr. Matt Howe of CPH Consultants, and also Mr. Matt Perkins with Quadrant Homes, who is representing, well, the applicant and also representative of the applicant. So they're here tonight. So tonight is the public hearing for the whole zoning property rezones, as we've already discussed.
I'll tell you what.
Thank you. Thanks, Paul. Okay, so as I just mentioned, the applicant here is Quadrant Homes. Property owner is David Holzerland, and CPH Consultants is representing both Quadrant Homes and the applicant. Oh, I'm sorry, Quadrant Homes and property owner. So tonight, the size of the rezone is approximately 31.10 acres on four parcels of land. The comp plan designation is R2 to 5 dwelling units per acre. Current zoning is UR9600, and proposed zoning is UR6000. So this is an aerial of the property and the site, and I'm sure you are familiar with this, but just in case anybody isn't, this is US 2, Highway 2. This is Roosevelt Road, and then this is Foothills right here. So this whole development to the east is the Foothills. These properties that I'm pointing at right here is part of the proposed and pending Bear Mountain subdivision, along with this panhandle piece. And so these four parcels that are highlighted in this sort of green, bluish color are the subject properties that are under consideration tonight. I must point out that this little triangle here was part of the original application. That's called Track 901. It's part of the Foothills. That tract was no longer part of this rezone. It was removed by the applicant specifically because of concerns that have come up on the project. So that has been removed and is no longer part of it.
Melissa, may I ask a question?
Sure.
There's a box that's inside there next to that 901 parcel. What is that?
This small parcel?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a small parcel owned by David Holzerland. So he owns all four of these. It's all under his ownership. I think that was, I'm not sure if the history on that was carved out. Do you have that, Brad?
Which one?
This little box. Yeah, I'm not familiar with any specific rationale of why that was a small box that was carved out for.
That's something to do with the final plat of the Foothills.
Okay. Yeah. I don't think there's any specific significance to that.
So is it part of the rezone, or is it?
It is.
Is it part of it or not part of it?
It is part of it.
Okay.
Yeah, just to clarify. So the first parcel is this, second is this, third here, and then this little piece is the fourth.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Good question. Yes, that works. Okay, so the second map is the current existing zoning map for the city of Monroe, and it's a little hard to distinguish on here because the yellows kind of are close in proximity to each other, but this is UR9600, and just to the north of it is zoned UR6000, which would be, if you are to approve the rezone, that's what this map would get recolored to be this color, to be the UR6000 in this area. This is the public open space right here, and then this is service commercial down below. So that's just an idea of how, if you were to approve this, the map would change basically from this lighter yellow to sort of this little darker yellow color. So a little bit about the process. This is a quasi-judicial site-specific rezone, and we talk about a site-specific rezone. What that really means is that it's not several properties, it's not an area-wide. That's what we consider a legislative process. So when you've got one applicant-initiated rezone, they're coming to the city and asking for a rezone, that's site-specific, specifically when it's not a large area of the community. That's an area-wide. So with that, you have a little bit different process, which requires public hearing, recommendation by you to city council, and a city council decision. The key here is that this acts like a project permit application under Washington state law, whereas an area-wide is a legislative action. So there's a key difference in that. And then you already did the quasi-judicial appearance of fairness. So that's a big part of that. A little bit of background. We received the application on July 29th. The city issued a notice of application with a 15-day comment period, and that ended on September 4th. There were two comments that were received, as written comments that were received as part of that comment period and also combined with the SEPA. Those two comments were included in your packet at the back, and the SEPA determination non-significance was issued on October 8th with a separate comment and appeals period. We did not receive any appeals on that. And then the applicant held a voluntary Foothills neighborhood meeting at the library on October 16th. I did want to mention that in terms of the public comments, one was concerned about track 901. That track has now been removed, as I mentioned earlier. And the second comment letter was from the Foothills HOA. And it was an extensive letter. The city recently wrote a response back to them. And so that has been responded to. And I believe Foothills HOA is in the audience tonight and may also be speaking.
Is that response in our packet?
It is not. We can certainly get you copies, and I know...
I brought it for you.
Okay, you brought copies as well, so you can get that. Yeah, actually, the response was on Friday, so it was a little bit late to make the call. But good question. So these are the criteria that all rezones have to be decided by. Actual rezone criteria that we are to judge a rezone by. So is it consistent with the comp plan? Is it consistent with the zoning code and existing land uses that are surrounding it? Does it reflect changes in the economic, social, policy, and other factors? And then what are the impacts to safety, welfare, public health, and property values? So we did some analysis of those criteria in the staff report, and I think you find it fairly detailed. I'm just going to talk about each one fairly briefly. And then if you have further questions, feel free to ask me. In terms of the first criteria, in keeping with the goals and policies of the comprehensive plan, staff reviewed the goals and policies of the comprehensive plan. There is a range of densities that are to be covered by the R2 to 5 zoning designation. The R3 to 5 and the R5 to 7 zoning designations take into account nearby densities and also look at the capacities of public facilities to the area. The city had projected a deficit in population capacity buildable lands report. Yeah, in 2012, and basically we looked at what is the 2025 population going to be for the city of Monroe. Found out that approximately 900 more persons are going to be added by 2025, which equates to 300 additional housing units. And where is that additional population going to be housed? Where are they going to be accommodated? So in order to provide for housing for the deficit and to meet that, the city had decided that one of the elements that we would consider is to rezone some areas of the city to higher density in order to accommodate that growth. So ultimately, based on staff's interpretations of the goals and policies of the comp plan, the density of surrounding development, particularly Foothills and what's proposed for Bear Mountain, and then also there are public facilities serving that area, and the deficit, all of those combined has led us to believe that this proposed rezone is consistent with the comprehensive plan. And what will need to happen is a comprehensive plan land use map and change will have to occur subsequent to this rezone, but as part of the comp plan 2015 update, which you've all been fairly familiar with and been integrated into. So ultimately, for consistency with number one, we have determined that it is consistent with the comprehensive plan and does not require an amendment to the comp plan. And I also wanted to point out one other important thing is that the city's code recognizes that there are maybe times when there may be changes to the zoning map without requiring amending the comprehensive plan. This is one of those times where you look at it, you look at the policies, yes, this supports this particular rezone. So for criteria number two, this is it consistent with the zoning code and the density of surrounding uses? So the applicant is asking for a change from UR 9600 to UR 6000. That effectively increases the density in the area. So it takes it from the 9,600 square foot lots down to 6,000 square foot lots. That means you can get more lots on a smaller area, or I'm sorry, more lots on the same area. So essentially, this increase is similar to that that's allowed already under city code by a PRD or planned residential development. And Foothills is a planned residential development. Bear Mountain is a planned residential development. Those PRDs are allowed a 30% bonus increase in density. And if you look at the calculations in the staff report, it comes out very similar. I think 8 dwelling units per acre is what could be allowed under a PRD. So in order to evaluate the existing density and compatibility, staff undertook that density analysis. And I think it's on page 5 of the staff report that we showed the proposed density under the concept plan for this project, the density of Foothills, and then the density of Bear Mountain. So looking at those, I have to point out that that's a net density. What we call net density excludes critical areas and their buffers, and just tries to, because that takes up so much area, then you can try to see what does it really look like when you're driving into the neighborhood. This gives you the perception of how dense the housing is. So you can see that the net density under all three subdivisions is fairly similar. There's not a huge difference, and that it's not far off from one another. The proposed under quadrants is 6.06 units per acre. Under the Foothills is 5.8 units per acre, and under Bear Mountain is 5.3. All very similar. So in terms of, is it consistent with the zoning code and the density of surrounded uses, in undertaking that analysis, we believe it is consistent. Under criteria number 3, the question is this proposed rezone reflecting the changes under economic patterns, social customs, policy changes, and other factors? This also comes back to the 2012 Snohomish County Buildable Lands Report that talked about the Monroe UGA having a deficit of approximately 1,800 persons or 610 housing units by 2025. So that's a shortfall in residential capacity. And I should clarify that the difference between that and that earlier in the report, which talked about this 300, that was for population capacity. This is for residential capacity. So one was looking at population. This one's looking at how many residents we can accommodate. The best way to address this deficit was to expand the urban boundaries and also have to rezone areas in the city for higher density. So in effect, in looking at those factors on the third criteria, we also determined that this proposed rezone does reflect those changes and it does reflect the factors that affect the character in the area. And last but not least, criteria number 4 is about safety, welfare, public health, property values, and other factors. The proposal is not likely to significantly affect public services and utilities. The capacity is there in the city's stormwater, sewer, and water system to provide utilities to this area. Police and fire coverage are also not anticipated to increase significantly. The traffic, there was a traffic impact analysis that was prepared by the applicant for this particular project, and that project looked at what is the cumulative impacts from Bear Mountain and Holzerland on the intersections at US 2 and Roosevelt Road, and also Roosevelt Road and Foothills. So in effect, basically, there's a net increase of 70 PM peak hour trips, and that accounts for both projects that would be generated by a residential density. And ultimately, it will, degrade LOS, the Foothills Road from Roosevelt, at the intersection of Foothills Road to Roosevelt Road, will degrade from LSB to LSC, and then at US 2 and Foothills, it would. Basically, it would change to a LOSD. Am I right there?
For what?
I'm just double checking for the traffic impact analysis. For Foothills, at the intersection of US 2 and Foothills.
Is it E now?
It is at E. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. So it wouldn't change it from E. That's what I wanted to double check.
E now. Excuse me.
Yeah, the city does not improve intersections unless it degrades it down to a level at LOSF. So this would not be bringing it to an LOSF. But ultimately, no significant traffic impacts are expected to occur as a result of this rezone. So that is the fourth criteria. So if we put the next slide, our findings and conclusions ultimately, it's consistent with the comp plan. It's compliant with 18.99 rezoning procedures. It's consistent with SEPA, compliant with the Growth Management Act, and it's consistent with the Planning Commission procedures, and ultimately it met public notice requirements. So our recommended action for the Planning Commission tonight is to hold a public hearing on the rezone, have commission discussion, and we'd be more than happy to take any questions you have at this time, and then ultimately staff recommends approval of the rezone. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have, and also let you know that we're going to discuss the next steps that this project may have after we have to take public testimony. So, thank you.
At this time, I would like to offer the applicant to make comments.
Do you have a chance to question the project? Is that back here?
Yeah.
At what stage do we discuss it?
And just give your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Matt Howe. I'm a CPH consultant. I represent the applicant Dave Holzerland in the rezone application. My business address is 733 7th Avenue, Suite 100, Kirkland, Washington, 98033. Sorry, we're going through a move, so I'm trying to think of my new address. I'm here again to primarily answer any questions that the commission may have, and also here to voice my support for the rezone and staff's recommendation for this evening's discussion and ultimately approval to council. As Melissa stated, we did hold a voluntary neighborhood meeting with the Foothills neighborhood. Had a pretty good turnout as well. Heard some, I think the primary, most of the discussion wasn't with the rezone so much as it was the pending preliminary subdivision application that we're working on now. But we heard a resounding argument to remove Tract 901, which is the only parcel that is part of the Foothills PRD. The outlier parcel that was the subject of discussion before is outside of the plat boundary. I don't know either what created the small parcel, but I know that it's not a part of the Foothills plat. So we, again, amended our application after the neighborhood meeting to remove Tract 901 to the parcels that you have highlighted here.
Okay.
And again, I'm here to answer whatever questions you may have.
Okay, thank you. Okay, now I'll ask for comments from proponents, people who are for this rezone. Anybody here? Okay, comments from opponents, if I can say that. I'm not sure if that's a proper way to say it, but if there's anybody that wants to comment on opposing this,
Brian Kirschenman, 16731 Pinnacle Road. I live in the Foothills. I'm on the Foothills board. I got this late Friday, so I brought a copy just to make sure that you guys got it. I appreciate staff for responding to our questions. Did I give you one?
Tell me.
I got it.
You got it? Okay. We did have a neighborhood meeting. It was very positive. Would like to thank the applicants. It was fantastic. Absolutely. My answer, or the answers I got from staff still leaves me with questions about whether or not this in fact should have a amendment to the comp plan. Paul talks about maximum density under standard subdivisions and then PRDs, and then his very last sentence is, the city of Monroe intends to address this issue with the 2015 comprehensive plan update. What issue are we addressing? It seems like something is not adding up. But all in all, I think it's going to be a great neighborhood, and I think it should be rezoned. It fits in perfectly. It's just doing things consistently makes the public feel a lot more at ease about a process is being followed, and it gets followed the same way every time. Otherwise, you end up with things that happen on, like, on the other side of town with that rezone.
Yeah.
So that's all. That's the only point I have. I think it's a great project, and I think it really should be rezoned. So just have additional questions. Got this late on Friday, and here we are at the public hearing.
Thank you, Brian. Paul, when would you like to address this question?
We can go through the public testimony, and then the commission can have discussion. We can address some of these things.
As part of the discussion?
Yes.
Okay. All right. After we're done.
And I didn't see the traffic impact studies online.
Oh, okay. Good point. I'll double check and make sure it's out there.
Because Bear Mountain already made it to an E, right? And now we're not going lower.
Brad said it was an E.
It was an E before.
Yeah, and then Bear Mountain's impact.
It stays in the
turned
E.
It into an
no,
E.
It was an E before.
It was, yeah. And it stays in E, and now it's in E also. With another three houses.
Okay.
Haven't had a chance to read it, so.
All right, okay, I'll make sure there are copies out there.
Thank you, Matt, or Brian. Matt Perkins, Clyburn Homes, do you wish to make a comment?
Good evening. I really don't have much to add. I do appreciate Melissa and her report that she presented. I do want to just, I guess, be on record stating that I do believe that our proposed rezone, as Melissa mentioned, is consistent with the comprehensive plan and is also consistent and compatible with the surrounding area. We are excited about this particular rezone and the potential development that we are anticipating to occur. So again, as Matt Howe had mentioned, I am here to answer any questions if you have any. But other than that, I don't have any other comments this evening.
Okay, great. Thank you, Matt. Next name I have here is Tony Ford.
My name is Tony Ford. I live at 16822 White Mountain Road Southeast. I'm a member of the Foothills community, obviously. And in my comments earlier, dated the 8th of October, I was commenting about two areas, one of which was parcel 901, which has been eliminated, and I thank all the responsible for doing that. The other comment I had was the parcels containing the Horseman Home and related buildings, and I say they must be eliminated from the rezone proposal. The density being proposed is inconsistent with these buildings, and being allowed to put homes on small lots immediately adjacent to a large home is difficult to imagine. In one of the slides that Melissa had, slide number two, a couple down from there, said this rezone must be consistent with the zoning, which probably is, and consistent with the existing land uses. The existing land use in this one more. Two. Consistent with zoning code and existing land uses of surrounding properties. So it seems to me that this is somewhat inconsistent with a very large home and outbuildings on that piece of property, and then, and as part of the rezone, saying, well, it's going to be okay to have this higher density right adjacent to that. And I'm also concerned about whether this density that we're proposing is consistent with the topography of the land. And those of you who may have driven by there, the land drops off considerably as it approaches on all sides, I think, Roosevelt Road, so I'm worried about the consistency of this thing in relationship to the existing homes and the topography of the land. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer. Thank you.
Anything else to report? The last name we have on here is David Nick.
Yeah, I didn't plan on giving any testimony.
Okay.
And some other information.
Oh, you just signed your name, okay.
Oh, yeah, that must be your list, okay.
Yeah, okay. No problem. Okay, so that's, anybody else that wishes to make a comment? One way or the other? Okay. Let's see, where am I?
Page three.
Pardon?
Page three.
Page three.
Page three, understood.
Yeah, I'm trying to get there. Okay, then, take a motion to close the public hearing?
I'm sorry, it's a...
I'm going to close the public...
Testimony.
Testimony of the public hearing.
Yes, sorry.
I so move.
Moved by Commissioner Dirksen to close the testimony portion of the public hearing. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Stanger. All in favor, please say aye.
Can we discuss? Discussion?
Am I in discussion?
Yes.
Any discussion?
Yes, it says here that if we feel additional information, it might be necessary, we might continue the testimony portion. I'm just questioning if during our discussion and our question and answer, might we need to take more testimony from anyone else? And if so, would we need to keep this public testimony portion open during that discussion or not?
Well, once you close the public testimony portion, then that does close the record for testimony. So there'll be no new information introduced that is not already on the record, which is everything you have in front of you tonight. You do have the option of, I guess we could leave the public testimony portion open and have some discussion.
Okay.
Come back to the, you know, we can discuss this as a part of the motion to close the public testimony portion. We can have some discussion that may lead us to either continue or to close that testimony portion.
Yeah, I don't know if that could come up, and I wouldn't want us to be blocked from getting additional information if we...
Yeah, I don't remember that happening in the past.
Oh, okay.
And we're not blocked from getting information. It's just public input going on the record. We can still get information from staff.
Oh, okay. What about staff and the applicant?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just the testimony portion is being closed, not discussion portion.
The public has to wonder.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Just so I understand.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thanks.
Right. Any further discussion? Okay. Then I'll ask all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. So now we have the testimony closed and we can...
If we can have the discussion.
We can have our discussion now. I did have a question, if you don't mind, I'd like to ask the question about the traffic. I always get confused when we start talking about the different traffic things going on. And when we said, you know, one part of it said that it would degrade, I'm trying to find it now, yeah, here it is. The southbound approach to Foothills Road and Roosevelt Road is forecast to degrade from Illinois Beach to the sea under the proposed rezone. And then it talks about Illinois prior to development is in good standard. And we attempt to make it D, but it's actually E. I'm extremely confused that there's somebody that can explain that to me a little bit, if that's going to be maintained the way it is today, or I'm not sure.
Good question. I'm having Brad Feilberg, our city engineer, maybe give him a response, but I can explain the LOSB to LOSC. My understanding is there's some traffic that would be coming from the neighborhood down through Foothills Road, and so right now there already is some backing up of that stop sign, and that would just add more traffic to that stop sign too, in order, and that level of added trips will add a little bit more time delay, which would probably decrease
it. So that's the degrade from B to C, is that that?
Right, at that stop sign right there.
Okay.
So for the other one, this is where I need a little help from him.
Actually, this is just the level of service standard for the comp plan.
Okay.
So basically it says that the comprehensive plan that's been adopted by the city allows for a level of service D. If the level of service is D or better prior to the development taking place, it needs to be kept at D.
Okay.
If it's the state, if it's at level of service E, the state requests it be kept at level of service E.
Okay.
So
we use that E now?
No, you're talking about two different intersections.
Okay.
The intersection of Foothills and Roosevelt, southbound on Roosevelt Road, is at level of service B now.
Okay.
It will go to level of service C.
Okay.
That is allowed by our comprehensive plan, what allows it to go to level of service D. The intersection of Roosevelt Road and US 2 is currently at a level of service E,
mm-hmm.
and it is proposed, the proposal keeps it at a level of service E.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was trying to keep straight in my mind. I just wanted to make sure that I was understanding that correctly.
Can I ask a follow-up on that same traffic?
Yeah, Commissioner Jensen?
So I understand that Foothills coming down to Roosevelt, the reason it would go from B to C is the increased traffic on Roosevelt from the development makes it harder for people to get out of the existing Foothills development. I don't know. I haven't memorized the traffic report, so I can't answer that.
My understanding is, and I don't have a copy here with me, but we can maybe applicants do as well, but my understanding is that it's a combination, that traffic report analyzed a combination of both Bear Mountain proposed and Holzerland rezone proposed. So it's traffic from both subdivisions that would be adding to that intersection.
But there's no more increased traffic, is there? To Oh, no, I guess that's right. The development would have more traffic emptying out through.
Right, they would be able to go out Roosevelt Road and also through the Foothills. So there's two options, but you're still going to have some trip. People are going to take a trip through the Foothills, and then some people may go out Roosevelt. So you're still going to have some more cars going out.
Right, okay. But the reason it changes to see people on Roosevelt, they're unaffected because they're straight through. They don't have to stop.
Right.
So the only effect to C is purely affecting those people at the stop sign.
The southbound line,
right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
That's correct.
Okay. And then the other follow-up is since our plan would be that if we're at D or better, we try to keep it at D, and if we're at E, we try to keep it at D, how does an intersection get from D to E, and how did this intersection of Roosevelt and US 2 get to be an E without having to be maintained at the D that it would have been previously, whatever day that happened? Different types of intersections. The level of service standards in the comprehensive plan have different levels of services for different types of roads.
Right.
The reason Highway 2 intersections are a level of service E.
Is that just by definition?
No, that's what was picked in the comprehensive plan. Okay.
This, the type of intersection that Foothills and Roosevelt is a level of service D. There's also other intersections in the city that have a level of service C. So,
right. Right, but where Roosevelt meets Highway 2,
right.
You said it's already an E.
Right.
As it currently stands.
Yes.
I'm questioning, at some point in time, it was better than an E.
Correct.
I don't know how many years back
right.
It was, but it was better than an E.
Right.
When it made that transition to E, why wasn't there efforts made?
Because the level of service there is not D, it's E.
That's today.
No.
The
level of service requirement of the comprehensive plan is E. On Highway 2 intersection.
Oh, I see. Okay. So it was allowed at whatever point to just fall to E.
It's probably been in the past.
Okay.
The comp plan has been in existence. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Can't change it. Right. Thanks.
Okay. I have one other comment as far as this traffic is concerned. I was looking through all my stuff here, and I thought at the last meeting when we were talking about this, and it had a layout of what the first go around or second go around of what it was going to look like. Wasn't there another entrance or an exit proposed in there?
See the black line on the north end?
Yeah.
It kind of went on the north side of that black line through the other development.
So was that taken into consideration then when we were talking about traffic coming out of that?
Yes. So there's like an entrance right, I should actually say right up here.
I think it's actually
it's
up there.
Right up here, and then there's another entrance that matches up with this White Mountain Road. Mm-hmm. So there would be two ways to get in and out.
So potentially people in the Frylands could also have a second egress out of their development.
Foothills.
People in the Foothills today would
right.
have a second egress.
This one up here would be combined with the Bear Mountain pointer.
Right.
It's
right.
A half street, and then when Bear Mountain develops that strip, there would be a full street, basically, both.
Right. I would say it gives a second option
right.
out.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But my question is, was that taken into consideration on the demolition of B to
yes.
C?
Yes. And in fact, I was realizing in the staff report, it's attachment 3 that has a traffic analysis, and you can, on page 3 of that, it shows you all of the counts, basically, the trips that we can generate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mrs.
Sure. Just while we're on traffic, so I understand the level of service, the lettering, but what does that mean on a practical level? If it goes from B to C, does that mean there's going to be stoplights there instead of, no?
What? No, because there's no improvements required until it gets to level
it's just
service
a,
D.
Okay. So it would just stay as stop signs? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That was the only thing with the mitigating the traffic on that topic.
If I remember right from a couple of years ago hearing discussions of traffic things, the letter grade has to do with how long the average wait time is at the stop sign.
Yeah, at some point they have to mitigate that.
Yeah, so going from B to C means the average wait time at that stop sign will increase, and I don't know what the measurement is.
Around 10 seconds.
10 seconds, so you have to wait for one more car.
Any other comments, questions for applicant?
I have questions, but
okay.
If we're done with the traffic thing.
Yes. I'm done with my traffic confusion.
Well, I think this might go into... Oh, did you call me?
No, the commissioner told me.
Thank you. I think this might go into the question about the consistency. So can we... I just want to understand why... there would be any public impression that the processes are not always consistent. Why? I know you kind of went over it quickly, but why not a comp plan amendment? And then also in the past, when we've looked at some things, we have talked about spot zoning and how we don't do that. And so why wouldn't this be considered a spot zoning situation? I think those two things kind of go together.
Yeah. I can address that. In terms of consistency, I don't, one of Brian's comments, I think, was related to the Bear Mountain property to the north. That's part of a 70-acre area that was changed in the comp plan 2008.
What is it?
2010. It was changed from a R3 to 5 to an R5 to 7 in the comp plan, which in zoning means a change from 9,600 to 6,000 square foot lots. And it was about 2 years after that that Bear Mountain project came in. About that same time, the rezone did not happen until about 2 years after the comp plan amendment. The rezone was done to, I think in 2012 as well, to bring that 70 acres, including Bear Mountain, in consistency with the comp plan. That was the background on that amendment. The Quadrant property, the Holzerland property, we've interpreted to say that the amendment is not necessary in this case, because the land use policies that describe the R2 to 5 in this case and the R3 to 5 and R5 to 7, they all allow for changes in zoning or changes that accommodate more than one zone. That could potentially accommodate R9600, they could potentially accommodate they could potentially accommodate zoning of UR9600, which is what the Foothills is and the Quadrant property is now. They could also accommodate the 6,000 square foot lots based on the fact that it is basically a one step in terms of density, and it is then the important part of that is that it is compatible with existing and proposed development, and we deem it to be very similar in terms of its density to the Foothills and to the pending Bear Mountain. Bear Mountain also includes, can you point out the Thomas property? The Quadrant proposal also includes the area just south of where Melissa just was, that L-shaped piece. That's the Thomas property, it's about 3 acres. Is included in the Quadrant proposal for their subdivision. So we felt that there was plenty of basis, good basis to rezone in this case, this particular case, without a comp plan amendment, since it was a, in the big picture, fairly small step. In terms of spot zone, a spot zone is more of a, if we wanted to take, let's say that piece we were just looking at, that 3-acre L-shaped piece, and that's about 3 acres, and you add the other small piece there, it's maybe about 4 acres, that sits in the midst of, what, over 100 acres of similar zoning, and taking that and changing it to a quite a different zone that is totally incompatible. That would be a spot zone. It's really based on area as much as anything, and certainly based on use. Rezoning that small square to a commercial would be a spot zone and would not qualify for that reason.
Okay. Can I keep going?
Yes, please.
Okay, and then why do a rezone at all, and why not just do it as a PRD, since I've heard it said several times that the density is compatible with the PRD, with the two PRDs actually that will be around it. Why are we rezoning and not just doing a planned development?
There's that was the applicant's decision to propose a rezone. Under the 9600, it's not as possible to achieve the same density as what does exist with the Foothills and Bear Mountain. And it's a little difficult to directly compare the Bear Mountain property and the Holderland property with the Foothills in terms of that net density, which was the area less, the gross area less critical areas in their buffers, because the rules were a little different back in the 90s then. So it's not quite the same as it is today. Back in the 90s, you know, Holderlin could have developed his property probably in the same way as the same density as the foothills with the rules that were in place at that time.
Okay. Can I follow that?
Yeah, I'm actually done, so go ahead. Art.
Commissioner Jensen?
So just so I kind of understand that, what you're saying is that there's more critical areas or more rules to the areas that make more restrictions today than what there would have been when the foothills was developed. Is that what you're saying? Then?
Basically, yeah.
So if he took it today and did a PRD, he couldn't end up with the same density as the foothills today because of the restrictions.
I think that's correct. Today. Yes.
Generally, buffers for critical areas, wetlands and such will change over time, so it's likely the buffers were maybe 100 feet for something and now are 150 or 200 feet, so that will change over time too.
So the other part was, you gave the density comparisons here in your report, and I'm just curious why you didn't list the potential maximum density based on those, or who calculates the maximum potential density in today's restrictions if a PRD is applied following this rezone?
It's in Paul's letter that I handed you. According to Paul, without rezoning in a PRD, it would be 6 dwelling units per acre. And according to Paul in your staff report, the current proposal is 6.06. So if they dropped one lot out of there, they wouldn't need to rezone it.
Yeah, it really comes down, I think I should add in, that it's the applicant's choice to choose a rezone or do a PRD. And I think there was sorry if I'm speaking on your behalf, but there was an idea that they might not do a PRD and go with a standard subdivision. And in that case, you want to pursue a rezone so you have that density. Right. So it's completely up to their choice. And I'm sorry for you.
No, at the meeting, the developer said he was going to exceed 7.
Excuse me, maybe I should hear you.
Yes.
The last meeting.
Yeah, I don't mind having comments, but I would like to not have discussion going on. If there's a comment to be made, let's make a comment and not carry it on and on, if you understand where I'm going with that. Okay.
The other thing I would say is that trying to project density for a blank piece of property, the Monroe Municipal Code has a methodology where you go through a fairly simple calculation and it gives you what appears to be a maximum yield. But when you start to account for critical areas, the layout of the property, it directly affects the density that is reasonably achievable. So you really have to get into more of a conceptual plan to decide what you can actually do. Okay. In some cases, in many cases, you won't be able to meet the theoretical density unless it's in a perfectly shaped piece of property.
So like the theoretical maximum currently is 6 units per acre. And the theoretical maximum after the rezone is 8. You're saying the realities are because of the restrictions and in sensitive areas, you're probably not going to get to 8.
Right.
You might be lucky to get much above 6 at all. Right. Is it?
Okay. I believe the rezone gives the developer more flexibility in lot sizes, some smaller, and a range of other sizes, which makes it gives them more options on how they configure the subdivision.
Okay.
Another question to follow up on that is, if there was a piece that could hit that theoretical maximum 8 per acre, under this zoning of UR6000, do they still have to be single-family detached homes?
Yes, single-family detached or, I believe, duplex is allowed, although a duplex requires 1.5 times the minimum lot size.
Okay.
But just those two uses, basically.
Okay, so it's not going to turn into a bunch of townhouses.
No, there's no attached single-family like townhouses,
right,
or row houses, mm-hmm, anything like that.
Or other apartments or condos.
Single-family.
Okay.
In this case, what they're proposing is detached single-family.
Then I just wanted to maybe more. Maybe more just kind of a comment, because I wanted to kind of follow up the based on the testimony made about how do you keep this look and feel the same when there's one house on a big lot of land. I'm curious. I would, in my perspective, I would think that would be a natural consequence as things start to change over time. I would almost expect, in fact, that following the rezone, a developer's probably going to want to buy his home, tear it down, and it'll eventually become matching homes to the surrounding area. I don't think the pressures of the potential gain in, you know, investment realized, or terminology, but the potential there will become so great, I don't think a single home is going to survive long in that environment. It's going to get replaced, is my impression that would happen. But I don't know if you have anything yet on the books or any applications that would suggest that in the short term.
No, the state currently doesn't have anything submitted for that, but that could very well happen. I mean, the point of rezoning is if it's the whole area, then there's the likelihood that, or the chance that could happen at some point, or it could just stay for quite a while in status quo.
And think of that, then, the traffic patterns and stuff that you did, is that assuming that the whole area of the rezone eventually gets developed at the 6, or is that only looking at the proposed?
I believe it's only the proposed. I'd have to double check, but I'm pretty sure it's not for the whole area because they don't have a conceptual plan for the whole area.
Right, but wouldn't a traffic...
It should have been for the whole rezone because we're doing the rezone now. We're not doing the plat.
And I believe it also included Bear Mountain's projected density.
So it included for the entire... Okay, thank you for correcting me. Sorry about that.
Okay, so it is.
I was thinking it was for just only the 14 acres.
No, the initial one that was submitted with the rezone, that traffic analysis considered the entire 32 acres at the time, and now we're down to 31 acres. Mm-hmm. And I'll double check while I'm here. It should also have included the Bear Mountain projections in that analysis.
Good question.
So to clarify, the traffic report does address traffic projections for the 31 acres and includes the Bear Mountain projections.
So later, when that home is sold and redeveloped, the traffic patterns won't be any worse than what you're saying today. They would simply be brought up to what you're telling us today. Okay. That was all my questions. Thank you.
That's all your questions? Okay.
And I just say, I think your assessment, Mr. Jensen, is correct in that this rezone is for the long term and may well result in redevelopment of the property in concert with some other development over time. As you know, the land is short, so the value of that property will continue to increase, I would assume.
My comment on that would be that they probably, if they didn't plan on that maybe happening someday, they would have carved that out of there somehow. It seems to me that would not be part of the result. Mr. Ford also had another comment about the drop-off in the homes. I'm not sure what Mr. Ford meant by that, but is there any concern about the grade or anything like that as far as that area?
Generally speaking, no. I mean, there is, as we all have driven that road and there is a slope there, it does drop off. But generally, that can be handled with earthwork, grading, retaining walls during development, so I don't anticipate a problem. There could be BMPs and erosion measures to make sure that there isn't any problems with it during construction.
Okay. And then long term also for water, making sure the water doesn't, wash away the hill and that type of thing.
That topography is another part of that theoretical yield in residential density versus the reality of it. So, I mean, that it's a big part of what we went through when we started looking at just the 15-acre parcel that were under contract to purchase from Mr. Oldsland, is the doing a PRD on a 96, the R9600, still has minimum lot size limitations. So part of the rezone to PRD for the 6,000 is for no other reason than to get to a mixture of lot sizes, some of them smaller, but no smaller than Foothills. I mean, our smallest lot is very consistent with what's on White Mountain Road today. Was so that we could get that maximum of 6 per acre, really. We're not going to achieve an 8 per acre on this portion of the property. That's not to say that they won't be able to hit that 8 on the other piece, but that's part of the flexibility that we've looked at and went through quite analysis in terms of lot size, that just doing a straight PRD on the 9600, just you can't get there with that, those lot sizes. So.
Okay.
And the code, as Paul pointed out, is just different than what the PRD code was when Foothills was done, right. So those limitations weren't there.
Okay. So that all went into your decision of why the rezone?
We didn't go into the rezone lightly.
Yes, I understand.
I would like to just confirm and look at the traffic report. It did about the entire 32 acres. I know the applicant already mentioned that, but up to 186 single-family homes. So I had forgot that part, so I apologize.
No problem, Melissa.
Double-check.
Commissioner Jameson?
Just wanted to then follow up on the slope part of it that we were just talking about. Is that slope any steeper than the existing foothills, anything in the foothills?
I don't know that we can answer that, but that really, in terms of this application, gets into project action, project development questions that are a whole different realm of issues to deal with.
So that would, if someone ever wants to do something there, they've still got a whole new process independent of a rezone. Before they could even put a shovel in the ground.
On they would side. Have to go through a subdivision application, new SEPA, or things that would address things like slope or drainage, erosion, other impacts like that. So a very, very similar process, but related to the subdivision.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments, questions?
I had one other comment as staff, just to respond more fully to Mr. Hirschman's question about, I think he said, if it wasn't an amendment to the map change, what is the question on the letter response? The City of Monroe intends to address this issue with the 2015 comp plan update. And Paul, maybe you want to add a little bit more to this, but this comes back to that we just had discussed about the theoretical density, what is the maximum density. And here, the City of Monroe, we put the density on the comp plan map. In a lot of jurisdictions, you don't see that. It happens typically on the zoning or in the zoning regs. And the comp plan map is more to be low density residential, medium, high, and not include the density. Here we have this sort of conflict where we've got the density on the comp plan map. So as part of the 2015 comp plan update, the city does intend to address that issue. So I just wanted to more fully respond to what is it we're addressing? We're going to try to remove the densities off of the comp plan map because it creates these issues. So I hope that helps a little bit.
Yeah.
Clarify. Okay. Thank you.
Paul, do you need to make any further comment? I think Melissa, I understood it, so that's a good lesson. Any other comments, commissioners? The options for closing, sounds to me like there's no need to continue the public hearing, as far as I can see. So I'll entertain a motion to close the public hearing. Commissioner Durson moves to close the public hearing. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second by Commissioner Rodman. Any further discussion? Okay, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Now we come to actions. We have an option to defer action if needed, or to make a recommendation to City Council.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
If I may?
Yes.
We presented these two options, partly dependent on the outcome of the public hearing and how issues have been addressed or resolved. And we did give you an exhibit list, which becomes part of the legal record for tonight's hearing. And you have a choice to defer action and make a motion to defer your action to the next regular meeting, which would be November 24th. And you also have the option, if you're satisfied with what has taken place, to make a recommendation to the City Council.
Okay.
At tonight's meeting.
Commissioner Toll?
I don't see a reason to defer action because I don't think we can take any more input or get any more information, right? Or...
Well, there's no further public testimony.
Right, but if there aren't any more questions, and maybe there would be, but if there aren't any more questions... Or if there are more questions, can we get more information still? Or are we done with all of that?
Well, as far as the legal record goes, we are finished with those material. We can introduce new evidence to the legal record, which is what council would need to take for their consideration.
And we wouldn't be able to discuss the topic with anybody other than staff between now and when we do decide to take action.
Right, there's no ex parte communication, no outside conversation.
Well, I would like to just see us make a recommendation tonight and not defer it. That's my input.
Okay, I'm open for motion.
I just would like to see if anybody else thinks differently before making a motion.
You're right.
I'll take in one of the commissioners. Any discussion on that?
You got all my questions answered. I think it's going in the right direction, and I would agree with Commissioner Tuttle that we should approve this motion and send it to the City Council.
Okay, then I'm open for the motion. Commissioner Tuttle? Jensen?
Someone else is. I move that we forward a recommendation to the Monroe City Council to approve RZ 2014-01 Halzer Lund Zone from UR 9600 Urban Residential to UR 6000 Urban Residential as shown on Attachment 2 zoning map and based on the findings and conclusions herein.
Okay, motion made by Commissioner Jensen to recommend approval to City Council. And seconded by Commissioner Tuttle. Any further discussion on the motion?
I just wanted to add, I'm normally very pessimistic about any types of rezones and things when they come up, and I have been happy with what we've seen and the answers we've gotten, and so I'm going to be voting in favor of this. That's not normal for me to just jump in on these things. So I scrutinize things with very much detail.
Any further discussions? Okay, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried.
Can we let Commissioner?
Yes, sure. I'm somebody else.
Yes.
Do we have more? Yeah, I don't have any of the rest of the agenda. Do we have more copies? Or I'll take those.
I didn't get it either.
The traffic impact.